Welcome to Chapter 19, the year of the trifecta, 1976. Picking up where I left off in a previous chapter, I had returned from Utah as the new sworn-in Chief Executive Officer of Stansberry Mining.
I was home about 2 weeks or so, and lo and behold, 1976 and what it held for me was not quite over. In the first week of November, or about 2 weeks after I arrived back from Utah, a vote was taken in New Jersey and gambling was passed in Atlantic City. Surprising a lot of people because it previously was on the venue and shut down. Well, if you could picture turning on a light switch in a dark room, that would be a very good analogy. Obviously, the real estate in the Atlantic City area had a jolt in prices and values, and especially real estate on the ocean, since, as far as we know, the Lord hasn't made any more oceanfront properties. So, it is amazing what went on. The excitement immediately following the vote and scrambling for who, what casino was going to be first, and it turned out Resorts was the first that was going to open in May of 78, because they were not building it, they were converting an existing hotel. And then the second casino license, shortly thereafter, granted, was to Caesars. And that would not open until June of 79. So I knew one thing, that my little ocean penthouse was worth more than it was the day before the election and vote to approve gambling. Now, this is in November of 76. We still have one more month. And this is a fun thing to relate. I get a call in December from a representative of Caesars saying that they have one of their executives that's going to be in the area and would like to stop by and meet me and discuss my property. So, why not? Turns out, this gentleman was from Las Vegas, mid-30s, Irish guy, real nice guy. He was destined to be second in command at Caesars when it opened, which would be a couple of years. So, he came in, sat down, and I said, you know, what? I was hoping that he was going to solve my renting problems. No, that wasn't what he was there for. He was there to buy my place. Now, you have to picture this. We're sitting in my living room. Now, before I describe it, keep in mind the view out the window could only be described as breathtaking. You're 19 floors up looking at the ocean and at the skyline of Atlantic City. It is mesmerizing, to put it mildly. But here we are, we're sitting on this rented couch. It didn't matter, we could be sitting on orange crates. And I said, you know, are you here? Are you interested possibly in renting? And he said, not really. He said, I want to buy the place. With that, he opens up his briefcase. He's got $300,000 in the briefcase, in cash. He says, I just want you to know I'm serious. I really want to do this. You know, would you be willing to sell? I said, not really. It's hard to believe you wouldn't be tempted, because I was fighting foreclosure and owed everybody and didn't know where the next payment, the mortgage payment, is going to come from at that moment. But some decisions, really, crazy. I mean, will you stop? Not at the time, or not when you look back on it. I said, no, I'm fine, but I appreciate you taking the interest. He said, listen, if it's the amount, you know, I'll go higher. I said, not really. I said, you know, I'm here. It's just, you know, I bought this place and, you know, but I'll tell you, you know, if you want to rent it, you know, I'd love to have you. And he said, well, I'm not going to be moving back here for about 2 years until the casino is up and ready. And he says, then I will be able to take my position. I'm just trying to, you know, and get an advance on where I'm going to live. I said, well, I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not interested in selling. The price is not the issue. I just don't want to sell. So he gave me his card, and I liked him. We kind of hit it off. He wasn't arrogant. He was sincere, and, you know, it turned out, and he actually, years later, 3-4 years later, rented my place for the winter, the 9 months of the winter, because I kept it in the summer. And one of the strangest feelings of my life is he invited me to a Christmas party, Christmas tree, in the penthouse. And I'm there mingling with his friends and other Caesars people. And people were asking me, well, you know, who are you? I said, well, I'm the owner. I don't think I ever, I was in a stranger situation, explaining that, and seeing a Christmas tree in my place that I equated with the summer, it was all surrealistic. But anyway, he was an executive, and I figured, you know, this is a good contact, young guy. A short while later, over the next summer, he had a heart attack and died. He was staying at Caesars in one of their rooms in the summer when he rented my place in the winter. And that, he was a good guy, and that was an unfortunate ending. But I would have had somebody filming the negotiating we took place on about $12 worth of rented furniture. It was hysterical. I look back now, and I still laugh. Anyway, that's my story for the moment. When 1976, I just hated and hated and hated to see it end. I bought a penthouse. I became the CEO of Stansbury, and gambling was passed. I would say in anyone's lifetime, certainly someone that didn't have two nickels to rub together, that would be what you would call a trifecta year.
Up next, the impact of a Utah farmer.